Hello, Ian, and...
Hello.
Hello. What are we going to talk about first before we talk about it?
We're going to talk a bit about Cape York, a bit of my own studies mixed in into the mix with some of the information that Wilderness Society has sent me, and it's very important, so please take some time to listen, and I hope you enjoy the dynamics of Far Northern Queensland.
Cape York, okay.
Cape York, one of the last great wild places on Earth. Cape York, Far Northern Queensland. Hi, I'm Ian Brown, also known at Nimbin Radio as Shamrock. Having spent many a heat rash filled day in Darwin and the surrounding tropical savanna and glorious monsoon rainforest ecosystems, studying, playing, rejoicing in Australia's extreme diversity, I can only lick my lips at the thought of indulging in a journey through Cape York's sparse tropical landscapes, from its sparkling snow-like sand dunes to its tropical, almost equatorial-type rainforests and wetlands, reminiscent of nearby Papua New Guinea with its shared flora and fauna species. Yes, sheer paradise indeed, but not for the faint-hearted. Suffocating tropical heat, sinister fiery storms, and crocs the size of a pair of the Surfing King of Tonga's longboards. Cape York, why haven't I been then? I've journeyed right round this Dreamtime Nation. Well, I did plan to travel the length of Cape York from Cairns in the south to the tip of Australia with a mechanic mate of mine during the Queensland dry season of 99 when I was living back in old Sydney town. My friend used his cash to race his motorbike and a lovely German lady sent me wheeling offshore, literally, for a spell. I had fallen in love with the thought of copying the Bush Tucker Man's, that's Les Hiddens, many voyages through Cape York, where on one of his earlier journeys, as a young fella, Les conquered much of the trail on foot. Phew! And then, of course, there are Kennedy's historic misfortunes in the steamy north, driving cattle through chokingly thick jungle. Oh dear. My German lover found me mad, I'm sure, when I compared this slice of heat-stroked paradise to Africa in explorational excitement. Nonetheless, I never made it to Cape York, only to Cape Tribulation back in 96 to the Daintree Rainforest. A good cause. Yes, the Wilderness Society has sent me the following important information. Cape York, two-thirds the size of the state of Victoria, and one of three most unspoiled wilderness areas left on Earth. With less than 1% of having so far been cleared, there is far less human hindrance to animal pathway movements between the mountains to the ocean as compared to the southern Australian regions. The rare golden-shouldered parrot, cassowaries, palm cockatoos and Australia's only cuscus are to be found here. Now I'll intervene for a moment with some food for thought. Keep in mind that Papua New Guinea is joined to Australia, as the Torres Strait Islands to the north of Cape York are but drowned mountain tops, much like the Whitsunday Islands of central Queensland. And during the Ice Age periods, as in the Pleistocene, Australia and Papua New Guinea are as one, as ocean's levels recede to be stored as ice in higher latitudes. I know from my own past studies that Cape York's important wetland habitats function in collaboration with the monsoon wetlands of not only Northern Territory, Kakadu, for example, but also Papua New Guinea's, and in relation to my favourite topic, the Southeast Asian and Australian monsoon system, which varies annually in duration and intensity between the three regional wetland locations. So each of the wetland regions are very important in harbouring moving and migrating birds, such as brolga, saurus cranes, jabiru, and the ancient magpie geese. I'd like to add also that there are no foxes in the tropical top end. The European fox so far is mostly sticking to its more temperate climate origins in Australia. Thus, there is no fox predation on marsupial species such as the northern quoll and northern brown bandicoot. However, there has been a shift in fire regime due to the changing cultural land use practices in the tropical top end savannas, both in the Northern Territory and in Queensland. And these now hotter fires are impacting greatly upon quoll and bandicoot habitats, modifying their environment and corrupting the two species' adaptations to these fire-manipulated landscapes, which were once devoid of less fuel loads, particularly with the indigenous folks' fire stick maintenance of the savanna, mosaic burning in the cooler, earlier dry season, allowing for more variation in the habitat for terrestrial mammals and birds such as goulding finches. This also with the introduction of introduced African paragrass, which also increases fire intensity in the tropical savanna and depletes and places pressure on the life history traits and survival strategies of savanna dominants such as Eucalyptus tetradonta and Eucalyptus miniata.
Okay, well, just at that point, Ian, thank you very much. This is, a part of your doctoral thesis or something, is it?
No, just a passion of mine. I do ecological research in my own time. I do mostly Indigenous education at Lismore. I'm doing a dip ed.
Yeah.
But, while I'm doing the dip ed, I write thesis. I've got the one about the crocodiles of global warming that's been well received. ABC have agreed with my findings. I'd love the environment. If I can help out and send the message out around the world, I will. And you might have guessed that I have a passion for the top end, but it seems our friends at the Wilderness Society do too. Please take heed. They explain that resources abound in Cape York, and there are plans for a massive new bauxite mine near the West Coast wetlands and a pipeline through central Cape York. Inaction is the real threat here. Both feral animals and domesticated cattle are degrading national parks unchecked. Weeds, and here it is again, fire, left to burn uncontrollably, are changing landscapes. Scientists believe waves of extinctions will occur, sweeping in amongst the small mammals to grass seed-eating bird species. And another very important matter, let's not forget about the Indigenous folk of Cape York. They have been caretakers and environmental lovers for many thousands of years. Their knowledge and skills crucial to the long-term management and protection of these precious ecosystems, as the Wilderness Society proudly state. And I hope you will all agree with me that this can be fostered by all parties, acknowledging and spiritually investing in the need for the nurturing of Aboriginal culture, and in Aboriginal terms, in Cape York. A new vision, states the Wilderness Society. Controlled development under the banner of state and federal government protection commitment. Oh, yeah. Indigenous protected areas, national parks and nature refuges, along with the Wild River Declarations, essential for the protection of wetland, river corridors and natural water flows. These are all on the Wilderness Society's wish list. Hooray! How then do they propose to do all this? Well, funding, of course, to prevent species extinctions and provide job support for local Cape Yorkians. Ecotourism, native produce, art and cultural exchange included. Sustainable farming and economic ventures to aid in nature conservation principles. Also, and of course, on the front line, World Heritage listing, as Cape York is indeed an outstanding global significant area. As an ecologist of sorts myself, forever willing to learn and love, I feel it a worthy cause to at least share this with you important Nimbinites and podcastees. It has stirred something in you, has it? Please, beckon literature and learn about our diverse Australian landscapes. Get involved. Help! Yeah, it's hard to beat our subtropical mountain and volcanic enriched valley lifestyle here. I live here too. But our sticky northlands are also endlessly intriguing and important for many reasons. Let's not forget that the Barrier Reef runs parallel to Cape York also. We could do a whole segment on the horrible impacts due to the unscrupulous development in Cape York on the world's largest coral reef as well. Cape York has 3,000 plant species, half of Australia's bird species, one third of our mammal species and one quarter of our frog and reptile species. So, www.wilderness.org.au.
Well, there we go. How do you do?